We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. Hey now, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter-Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. And Gabe, all the basketball seasons, the high school seasons, and the college seasons begin next week. And next up for us right here on Courtside with Christy and Gabe is ACC women's basketball. Now, I know that Maryland is now in the Big Ten, but right. I played in the ACC. And so there's a little bit of like the heartstrings pulling me to this conference. And this year, I mean, with Virginia Tech going to the Final Four last year, there's a lot on the table. Obviously, they're adding new teams as well, but we'll get into all that. But what say you about the upcoming ACC women's hoop season?
I am extremely excited for all of the seasons you just mentioned. Like, yeah, we both have jackets on. We have jackets on. My nose is a little stuffed because we haven't bought the humidifier yet. Oh, so I need a humidifier, yearly tradition. So now it's like it's getting to basketball season. We're here. So I'm just pumped for everything. I mean, my team has tryouts on Monday. Oh, man, talking about the NBA season.
We were.
And the hometown Washington Wizards.
Oh, we're struggling right now. But it's okay. They're young.
This is not an NBA podcast. Luckily, this is because we get to talk about the ACC. And like you mentioned, huge year last year, Virginia Tech breaking through, getting to the Final Four, you know, making history for their program, but just so many programs in this conference. Mm-hmm. Making it, obviously, my Miami Hurricanes did a great job last year getting to the Elite Eight. But you have just teams that are stacked with talent and were stacked with talent last year and now are bringing a lot of it back. I think Notre Dame, North Carolina, Florida State, Louisville, Duke, just a ton of teams that have a lot of talent. And this conference last year was one of my favorite to watch, partly because it's the conference I grew up in. I also love the style of play. I think there's just really, really exciting individual players and a lot of really good team play. And I think, you know, with the Big Ten last year, those two conferences, to me, those two and the SEC, obviously.
Agreed.
You know, it really stole the headlines. And I think the ACC and the Big Ten in particular took a step forward towards competing with those big SEC rivals and UConn, because we have to include UConn.
Yes. No, it was really exciting. I mean, shout out to Kenny Brooks, who had a fantastic career at James Madison University prior to leaving and going to Virginia Tech and then getting them all the way to the Final Four. I was very proud of him, just knowing him over the years. And I believe they won 3 back-to-back-to-back titles at JMU when they were in the CAA conference. So, I mean, the success has followed him throughout his career, but for Kitley to carry that team on the interior and, Amore on the outside was phenomenal for them in terms of being a table setter as the point guard, but it was just fun to watch that team. And I know we'll probably just start there because they made the furthest run in the tournament last year, getting to the semifinals before LSU came back towards the end of that game and got the win and then subsequently the title. But that was a great game. But what was it, do you think, about Virginia Tech that sustained their success throughout last season and catapulted them to the Final Four?
Well, so I think Liz Kittley, I mean, that's where you start, right? Two-time, she is a now two-time ACC yep. Player of the Year. She may well be a three-time ACC Player of the Year. She was a preseason pick. She's my pick to win it just because of how, you know, solid she is in the interior. And I think she last year really took a step forward on the defensive end. So I think that's where her step forward came from last year. She played really well as my dog just burst into the door.
Oh, now get him. Oh.
Yeah, he was really excited to talk about Liz Kittley, apparently.
Let's let him in.
So last year she took that big step forward on defensive end. She's still not, like, the best center defensively, but she's been good on that end. And I think last year also adding Taylor Soule to the mix and Kenan Traylor, you know, another transfer from the year before. Just like those two players were huge to pushing that team over the edge. And then obviously you have the growth of Georgia Amore, like you mentioned, and she's back too. So you have the two top players on this team back, but man, you know, they do lose a lot. I mean, Ashley Wusu, who didn't contribute to the level that we thought she was going to, she went to Penn State. We talked about her last week. Taylor Soule, who I just mentioned, she transferred from BC. And she was awesome. I mean, she was phenomenal last year. She's in the WNBA, and she's just the type of player who did so many little things that's going to be tough to replace her. And Kayana Traylor, who's just a pure scorer. I mean, she's right? Like, she's that type of player who can get a bucket. I don't know that, like, that's a lot to replace. And De'Asia Gregg was also a big part of this locker room, this team, this culture. And they have some good transfers coming in. It's just, you know, I think – the year after you accomplish something like making it to the Final Four, like winning your conference for the first time, getting that second straight player of the year, like all those things, all those accolades. Well, now you put a target on your back and you have to replace a lot of players. They already had a short rotation last year. Like, how do you think that challenge is looking like to Virginia Tech right now?
Oh, I think it's going to be huge, right? There's always a different dynamic when you go from being the hunter to the hunted, right? And that just changes. I mean, that's nothing strategic. That's nothing written on a whiteboard. That's all mentality and emotion. Okay. And it does change when you make that huge leap and go to the Final Four. But I think when you're talking about what will be the biggest challenge, I think it'll be that, right? Yep. To understand that you have a different label, right? You still have Virginia Tech across your chest. Okay. Let's not mistake that. All right. But there's a different kind of moxie that you have to carry underneath that jersey inside your chest, right? You have to be able to own and embrace that aspect of competing, and that's going to change. So now you have to look at it as someone's trying to take something from me that I earned. And that's how you have to play. You know, I'm just thinking back as an athlete, having won a title the year before, like in the ACC, like we won back-to-back ACC titles back in the day. And, you know, that next year was different, right? People are trying to take your heads off, trying to take your neck, right? So there's a different level of, you're not going to do it. There's a different level of pride. There's a different level of just owning what is your moment, and you know what it feels like. So when you first do it, it's like you're chasing it and you finally do it. And now when you get it, you want to be selfish with that thing. Like, you're not letting it go. Like, you, like, that's what it feels like. I want to do it again. Right. So you want to definitely watch for the chemistry piece. But I think it's going to be more of the emotional piece, the competitive spirit piece that will shine through for Kenny Brooks and his squad.
And you know, it's not like they're going into it completely different. I mean, they still have, as you mentioned, Amore, Kittley, Kayla King, who is just knockdown shooter and a really good friend of Kittley. So there's a lot of, like, bonds there chemistry-wise. So I think what you're saying is true. It will be more of, like, the can we sustain or the best punch of these teams who, you know, yeah. they almost got it was not easy for Virginia Tech in the ACC last year.
No.
So you're going to be playing teams that have that experience of either getting close or actually beating you last year. Now they're a year older, that you're better. They have that belief that, hey, we can get to them. We can get to them. So it becomes a lot tougher. I think I'm totally agree that that emotional state is going to be tough. But hey, they do have a great coach in Kenny Brooks, and like their first five have a lot of, actually their first seven, like they had last year, a lot of experience there. I mean, Matilda Eck coming in from Michigan State, Rose Michaud, who I don't know if I pronounced her last name right, coming in from Minnesota, and Olivia Sumayel, who's coming in from fellow ACC school, Wake Forest. Those three players have a lot of experience. They played well in big games, but it's not the same. And they had that experience the last couple of years of integrating transfers and all that. But I'm looking at it, and I think you have five freshmen on this roster. Mm-hmm. I think you're looking at one of them to contribute in some meaningful way. So one of those five freshmen really have to contribute. I'm not the recruiting guy for neither men's or women's basketball. So I don't know how good these players are. I just know that one of them is going to need to step up just for a numbers game. Like, you want to have eight players that you can rely on throughout a regular season, at the very least. I know Kenny Brooks has a short rotation, but I think you need eight. And especially when you think about, hey, maybe we are looking more towards the end now. We don't need a whole season of the same sort of wear and tear that we had last year, because that may get to us this year. So now we want to have a deeper rotation in the regular season. And then if we have injuries at the end, we can have someone step in. So yeah, that is probably my biggest concern, is that they are going to have someone that we do not know about step up and be a contributor. But I mean, hey, Amor Kitley, those two may be the best duo in the country. Really, maybe the best duo in the country.
Agreed.
Yeah, right. There's a case for it.
Yeah, it makes me think about. Yeah, it makes me think about. Hey, we should do a poll on who are the best duos.
Well, I may contradict myself, honestly.
No, I mean, I'd like to hear like what the ideas are. What's the A, B, C, D, E, like, of the multiple choice on that? I think that's intriguing. Yeah.
Caitlin Clark and anybody. Iowa player. It's now the law firm used to be Clark Sinano. Now it's just Clark and Associates.
And Associates. Right? Love that.
Clark and Associates, because they can all step up when needed. But yeah, so I don't know. But I'm honestly going to contradict myself as soon as we start talking about the next team. Okay. Do you want to get to the next team?
Absolutely.
Or do you have any other thoughts on Virginia Tech?
No. I think it's just going to be intriguing to watch and see how they mesh competitively and how they can sustain their success from last year. I think that's going to be interesting as well. So, yeah, I know. I'm good.
Kenny Brooks, like, you know, on top, right?
You said what? I'm sorry.
He's going to be on top now. So now it's like he's top dog. You know, do we get, like, more of Kenny Brooks, like, feeling himself? Or do we get more, like, you know, I'm buttoned up Kenny Brooks, because there's both sides and they're really fun.
Kenny's fun to watch. He's great.
He's a great coach. Another great coach, Notre Dame. A well-coached team last year, and just one that's been building. And I think, you know, the first thing you have to mention is Olivia Miles' injury.
Yeah,
because it's dicey as to whether she's going to be on the floor for Neil Ivey's team starting out. And I don't know. Maybe someone else has the answer. Maybe I missed something during media day.
I didn't see that.
Maybe Mitch Northam, if he's listening, Mitch, let me know. I don't know if I missed something with Olivia Miles.
Mitch.
But she's a superstar for Coach Ivey. But man, this team, the rest of the team is superstar laden. I mean, you have Sonia Citrone, All ACC player last year, picked to be also ACC player this year. KK Bransford had a lot of experience last year. And really, they're only losing Dara Mabry, huge loss, and Lauren Ebo, both huge losses. Both players who contributed a lot last year.
Yeah.
But their young players are here to, you know, step up for them. And then you got Maddie Westbell too. So Westbell, Citrone, Miles. When Miles and Citrone are on the floor, that is maybe who I'm contradicting my pick of the best duo in the ACC. Kitley Amor. I think I may go Miles Citrone just because they're so dynamic on the perimeter. I mean, Miles, you know, even in the season last year, we were watching Caitlin Clark. She still had a claim to be the best, like, point guard whatever a point guard is nowadays, she had the claim to be the best one of them, even in a season where Caitlin Clark was going crazy until her injury at the end of the year. And then who knows what happened in the tournament had she been healthy. But this team, they're stacked. They have a top 10 that I think they can trust. Mm-hmm. And I think that for as long as Olivia Miles is out, if she is out, Hannah Hidalgo is going to have a chance to show her stuff. And I think she is a pretty good point guard and she can get this team into a lot of stuff. So I'm expecting Notre Dame to have a huge year. I'm still picking, well, I'll give away my top two, but like I'm still picking Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Conference regular season. But if I think Notre Dame, when Miles gets back, maybe a better team, regardless of where they are in the standings.
I love that. And you know, Notre Dame is playing South Carolina in Paris in the next 48 hours.
Is it in the next 48 hours?
Yeah, they're already there.
Oh my God.
Well, I saw South Carolina was already there. They took their Eiffel Tower photo. Yeah. So I'm still
a week in Paris because why not?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I know South Carolina's already there, so I'm assuming Notre Dame's already there as well.
They play on November 6th, so Monday.
Wow. So,
yeah. So they've been there for a while. Good for them.
The vacay. I love it. Get some croissants. You have like 4 days. Wow. Beautiful. So yeah, they're already there. So I'm assuming Notre Dame is already there. But Olivia Miles, man, I mean, she just means so much to what they do. And when you talk about Notre Dame, and you say Olivia Miles' name, you think about all the different ways she can set up her teammates, all the different ways that she can score on her own. But she's the point of contact, right? Wherever it is, like offensively or defensively, it starts and ends with her. And, you know, I just want to make sure that she's 100% healthy. We've seen players come back who haven't been 100% healthy and then really kept themselves off the court because they re-injure it or have more of a difficult injury to recover from. So hopefully she'll be okay to go, and maybe they may have to wait until the ACC portion of the season for her to be 100% cleared. And even if she is cleared prior to that, I mean, I've been around the game a long time, and when you come back physically, you're cleared by the doctors physically. But there's a mental hurdle or two or 10 that you have to get over as well to be able to trust your body. And we've talked about that as well. So hopefully she'll be able to come back. But Citrone is – nobody talks about her enough. I had them early last year. I believe they were playing Northwestern, obviously non-conference early in this. I think it was the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And I had that game and – I was like, man, I don't know what Citrone may have had, I don't know, 4 threes or 5 threes or something. Like, she just went bananas. And I'm like, man, this kid is so young, but she's fearless, right?
She's like this.
She's all the time.
You don't see her move from just like that center. Absolutely. That she's right here the whole time. Man.
The whole time. Tough. So, I mean, I think they have what it takes. Neil Ivy, I love her. And, you know, obviously with her track record of excellence at Notre Dame, it just speaks for itself. But I think, you know, health really got in the way of what they wanted to do last year, not just with Olivia Miles, but with Mabry also, right, going down. And that was just tough for them to sustain that. But even with those injuries, much like Brenda Freese, like somehow they found a way to piece everything together and still find success and make a strong push in the pool. But am I still there?
Yeah.
Am I still there? Sorry, I froze out. Sorry.
Yeah, technical difficulties for anybody.
This is a little glitchy, but it's fine. But for me, I think, just watching what Neil Ivy has been able to do as a coach, just her philosophy, the way she pours into the girls, I think it's just really, I don't know, it's what it's supposed to be. And I know I told her that, you know, I watched practice and I just told her, you know, outside of what are the keys for the game? Like, you know, the common questions that you ask on a game day or a practice day or whatever. But I told her, I was like, you know, you're molding these young women in the way you're supposed to, like you're where you're supposed to be. And sometimes as a coach, you just need to hear that side of things too. And for me, I'm always going to tell you what I'm thinking. And I'm pretty blunt with that. And I speak from the heart and I see what I see. right? And I had to share that with her because, you know, it's bigger than basketball. I've said it to Dawn Staley too, and Brenda Fries and all these other coaches as well, that they have the opportunity to really develop these young women in the way that they should go in life. And to be winners in life is paramount. So I've seen that. But just speaking about Citrone and the way that she's mentally made up, I mean, a lot of that goes to Neil Ivey and the way that she develops her players to be ready to compete that way and to stay composed and to be poised on the court. You know, it's just really special and it's fun to watch.
Well, she's also just one of the best coaches in the country.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she got Notre Dame rolling again. One of her programs in this sports history. So she has it all going on. I totally agree. I think she's a great like role model and energy coach.
Yes.
She does bring that. She brings the energy, but she's not like bugging out on the sidelines like me.
Yeah.
So she I think she's like a nice balance. And she also just calls great sets. She's got just great mind for basketball. But yeah, I think I'm just excited to see Citrone this year. I mean, she's going to have even that more of a starring role. She's going to get even more of the attention. Like you're saying, I think a lot of people are going to be have their eyes open to how good she is because she is someone who can, she can play a little bit of point guard. I mean, she did in the ACC tournament because they had no other choice.
She had to. Yeah.
She had to. It didn't go great, but it didn't go that badly either. Well, they did actually set the record for at least points scored in an ACC tournament game, but that's not on Sonya. She played her guts out. And I think she now with a real point guard around her, and especially when Olivia comes back, this team is rolling with her. And also they have a pretty hard schedule early on, but it's not like killer. Like they have that South Carolina game in Paris. So it'll be just fun to be in Paris. Then they come here. I don't know why, but they come here to play Illinois in Capital One, I believe.
Oh,
the city.
Wait, what is that for?
The City Shamrock Classic. I guess because we have a lot in DC.
Wait, when is that game?
That would be November 18th. I don't even know where this game is. Hold up. I got to find out now.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think. Wait, am I in town like that day?
November 18th. Oh, okay. So they do this every year. That's fun.
What's that? Okay.
They're going to. Oh, it's going to be at the Mystic Stadium. ESO.
Hey, wow. How did I miss? Memo on that. Thank you for that. I got to put that on the old calendar.
That's it. That's a tough game. Illinois is no joke. We talked about Illinois in our last podcast. Good team. Then at Tennessee for the new ACC-SEC challenge, because I don't think we're doing the Big Ten challenge anymore because I guess we're not friends with the Big Ten. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what happened there.
Welcome to Cal and Stanford next year.
I know.
Cameron Brink in the conference.
You said what?
Cameron Brink may be in the conference next year if she stays at Stanford.
If she stays.
This is not Pac-10 or whatever conference. I don't even know how to call it anymore.
Pac-10.
And then they have at UConn, just to end it off. But that's in, like, January, so that one's not.
Okay. I was going to say
for a while. So those three games early on are tough, so maybe they struggle without Miles. But when she comes back, man, this team is rolling. And I'm excited to see it all go. She's small, but she's tough.
She's tough.
She punched PBI. DC.
Yeah.
DC. Paul the Fifth for all the people who are not from around here.
You're funny today. It must be the hat because you have that.
I was not feeling chill enough with my hair out, so now we're moving to the hat. North Carolina,
did you want to? Now we have hat game. Okay, go ahead. But
you want to talk about North Carolina?
Yes, let's dive in.
I'll get real serious for North Carolina.
Okay.
I really like them. Courtney Banghart is actually my dog. We hung out once. We watched. I'm not serious. I'm back to not being serious. But we watched the Duke UNC Final Four game on the men's side together.
You told me that. I remember
when North Carolina retired Coach K, one of my favorite basketball memories because I got to watch with Courtney Banghart. So I'm a little biased. I like this team a lot, but I also just think they are awesome. I mean, they have Deja Kelly, they have Alyssa Utsby. Then they add, I think, three of the best transfers to come into this conference, Lexi Lenarski from Iowa State.
Okay.
Maria Gottdang from BC. So that's technically not someone coming into the conference, but she was awesome last year. And she's from Miami. And India Navar from Stanford, who comes over after being a very highly touted recruit and coming in. She's from North Carolina, so she's coming home. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of different starting lineups that they may throw out there, but I think at sometimes those three may be a starting or finishing lineup for them. And that's crazy to think about how good this team was last year that they're going to add three transfers. But, you know, I just think those three transfers are really, really good. They do have some bodies to replace. Kenny Ty Williams goes to Ole Miss. Ava Hodgson, William & Mary's finest before transferring to North Carolina. She graduated. I'm excited for this team. They're going to need some gelling, which is why I have them third. But honestly, I think if they come together and they, you know, can get that experience together, this mm-hmm. is a team that I could see going very, very far in the NCAA tournament. I think this is right up there. I have these three teams in a tier by themselves: Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, North Carolina. I think they're just above the rest of the ACC.
No, I agree. Deja Kelly, I know, you know, she had some ups and downs offensively mm-hmm. last year a little bit, but boy, those ups were up, right? She can go unconscious on the offensive side. And I think just going through that last year, the ebbs and flows of that, I think, you know, she's ready for a season where that's the challenge for her is mm-hmm. to be consistent every single game. And obviously you understand that she's going to be drawing the toughest defenders from other teams.
Yep.
So, and maybe it might be more complicated than that. Maybe they're going to be scheming directly at her, throwing extra bodies her way, getting the basketball out of her hands. So she may have to find other ways to impact the game other than her ability to score, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm looking at Deja Kelly this season as someone who, I mean, she can set the table, and that's not going to be something new for her, but it may have to be something that is more for her this year to do. So it may be, if you're looking at it as a pie shape, it may be, okay, scoring, like they needed her to do a lot more scoring this year. It may be a little less scoring and a lot more playmaking, which is still great for the team because of all the pieces that you just discussed. So, I mean, I'm intrigued to see what Deja Kelly looks like with the team this year, and if her role changes at all in terms of being the play or being the playmaker in their system this season, and what defenses throw her way and how she operates against it. So I'm intrigued to watch how that unfolds for sure.
Well, I think she did get you know, a little bit more practice with that last year, but still, you know, Hodgson was really the table setter for them. And now this year, I think, you know, Kelly will take on that the more of the table setting role, but I think there's also just a little bit more dynamic playmaking around at the point guard position. I love Ava Hodgson. She's just not the sort of driver that Lexi Donarski is. I mean, Donarski can get to the rim. She can create for herself too. So that's just a really easy weapon to say, hey, when I'm driving, I can have a player that's moving around a little bit more and coming into the lane and then getting that dribble drive action. I think you can have a really, really nice dribble drive offense with these three. And then Gottdang, she's dynamic. She's a good offensive rebounder, and she can, you know, hang out in the dunker spot, which is where she's going to need mm-hmm. to be, and score from there. So I just think it's a great mix. It really fits. I love what they did in the portal, and I love what Deja Kelly is. And I love what Alyssa Utsby is too. I think they're two tough players that are versatile and rugged. And hopefully this year there's just less pressure on Utsby to be the only defensive stopper. I think last year there was times where she was really carrying a lot of the burden defensively, or any one of them whether it was Kenny Todd Williams. It just kind of felt like, you know, there was not a ton of communication at times. Mm-hmm. And that's when they lost in those games. It didn't happen a lot because they were pretty good last year, only 11 losses, but they did have games where they had to come out better. And I think this year you have all these players who have experience, who have come from different coaching staffs as well. They're going to come in with, I think, hopefully an attitude of saying, hey, we got to really get together quick. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, they have South Carolina as well. They have at UConn in December. They play Oklahoma in Charlotte. Okay. A lot of weird matchups early on.
What are you doing? Like in different locations. Wow.
I guess there's people. In, I don't know, man.
That's rhyme and a reason. There's a rhyme and a reason for it. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure someone knows.
I don't know. I don't. But I love it though. I love it for them. Like,
that's yeah. Fun. So I think of these teams, here, I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Okay. I love that so much. But go ahead.
I want you to rank these three teams, or would you have it any different? Because right now I have it. And remember, when I say they're in the same tier, I mean they're usually like they're not that different. So I'm just ranking them within amongst themselves. I have Virginia Tech, then Notre Dame, then North Carolina. And I think also, I think the type of ranking you're doing matters. So for me, I was thinking like, what's this team going to be like at the end of the year, rather than what maybe their standings are.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So it's more of a power ranking, I guess, a power ranking rather than a predictive ranking. I'm thinking like when these teams are full blast and they're ready to go, who am I picking?
Yeah.
The ACC tournament, the NCAA tournament. So I have my ranking is Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, North Carolina. Would you change that?
No. And you just stamped my final opinion of that and my final vote. Just because you said what they will look like as the season goes along. Because I think at the beginning we talked about Olivia Miles and the health there. And I don't know, you know, what they're saying about when her time or her window of time will be to return healthy and everything. And it's going to take some time even when she does get back. And that's what I was alluding to as well, like the mental side of it and being comfortable and trusting everything about how you move and what you want to do and how that looks and how that impacts the game. Because even if she comes back, right, and she's trying to get back in, I mean, maybe there will be a game with a ton of turnovers that she typically wouldn't have, right? Or shots aren't falling in rhythm because she's trying to get her legs under her and get the rhythm back. But I have no doubt that will happen. I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but I'm saying that may be a process that we have to understand. And it will probably take some time for her to get into prime game shape and prime game mental shape to be able to compete and impact the game the way that she was before she was injured. And so, yeah, but I'm in agreement with that order.
Okay.
Those three, bing, 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 ABC.
I think the caveat for the end of the season thing with Olivia Miles is a big deal.
That's a big deal.
She's a legit superstar. Actually, someone that had she been healthy right now, I was going to pick to be player of the year. Frankly, I kind of thought about it even as it stands right now, but I definitely prefer to Kitley because she deserves the deference after winning it 2 straight years.
Yeah. Interesting so, though. Yeah. Right? That's definitely something to keep an eye on for sure. Yeah. I love it.
All right. I have another tier here.
Another tier.
Three tier. Well, so this is weird. I have the conference divided up into three tiers. So we have the top three who I think are the championship favorites and should be the NCAA favorites in the conference. Then I have this other tier, and I don't really know what to do with it. So here's like this is the order I have it in right now. Florida State, then Miami, then Louisville, then State, then Duke. But here's my caveat, and this is where the tiers come in, so don't get mad at me.
Okay.
Fans of a certain school that has a red bird in the slogan. I think you could tell me any of these teams finish fourth in the conference. So you could tell me Duke finishes fourth. I would not be that surprised. You told me Louisville, NC State, any of those teams. I just think Florida State and Miami have a lot of young talent and not a lot of people are talking about it. And I think for Florida State, like Tania Ladson, absolute dog. The nation did not get to know her because she was hurt in the postseason.
Right.
That is a baller. And then Mikayla Timpson is another player. Like those two, we were talking about best duos in this conference. They're not there yet. They're not there yet, but they may get there this year under Brooke Wyckoff. I could totally see it because those two last year, there was times where they're just mowing people down. I mean, in the ACC tournament, first half of Mikayla Timpson against Wake Forest was like a bloodbath. Like they could not do anything against her. And so she do that at times against teams in this conference. She's going to be a real force to handle. And Latson, I mean, one of the best freshmen in the country last year overall period.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead, Hank. Go ahead.
So I'm just big on Florida State. I'm big on Miami. I'll explain Miami a sec, but we'll talk about Florida State. What do you like about them from last year? What are you expecting?
Yeah, I had them in the first round of the tournament when they were – did they have Georgia?
Yeah, I think they had Georgia.
I believe. Yeah, because it was at Iowa City, and they had Georgia in that first round. And they were just so young. And they had – the thing about young teams, okay, is that they swing for the fences and they have great energy, but just sometimes the decision-making isn't quite – all the way there. Like Luther Vandross had the Jerry curl. The curl wasn't quite turned all the way over to Cedric the Entertainer. That was a funny joke from back in the 1900s, probably, that Jordan says all the time where I'm from. Do you even know what a Jerry curl is?
I know what a Jerry curl is.
Oh, okay,
great. I remember Deion had one. Deion Sanders, while we're on the topic of Florida State, Deion Sanders made this really a rap video with his teammates one year. It was like a seminal stomp or whatever, because Miami had won the championship the year before, and Florida State came into the season ranked number one. And then Deion, with all his Jerry curl juice, like going everywhere, you know, it looks like he's in a model, you know, with the hair all wet. He's talking, and the Canes came out, and I think they stomped them. I think they won like 35-0 in the first game of the season.
Oh my God, so good! You get my
Jerry. I get the Jerry Crow reference. I ain't get the whole thing, but I'm old enough.
But you know, but the young players, like, it's like if the curl doesn't quite go all the way around. Okay, so I think that's what they were missing last year—just the full-on cohesiveness that you see with experienced teams. And so Brooke Wyckoff, first of all, I love her. Hey Brooke, hey girl. I love her. I love the fact that she's coaching at her alma mater. I love the fact that Sue Semrau was her coach, and she had an opportunity to coach alongside of her before taking over for her coach in college. And so just the philosophy and the culture is very similar. And there's nothing like coaching an alma mater, I will say that, having done that twice, college and high school. So there's like that extra added piece, and Neil Ivey knows about that as well. But I just think it was fun to watch them play. Right. And and you saw like the mistakes that they made, or the errors that happened, the miscues that occurred during the game. I was chalking it up to them being so young. Yes. Like, it wasn't like, oh, they just don't have it. I'm like, they will get it, but maybe not this year, right? And I just love the way that they play, the style that they play. You saw what they were trying to do, even if the play didn't get executed fully. You saw what they were trying to do. So I think this year, it's always that next year anyway, right? Whether you go from freshman to sophomore or sophomore to junior, that's when things really start clicking and coming together in terms of expectations and accountability. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're going to see from Florida State.
And Lotson will have that. I mean, Lotson and Timpson there. Yeah. I think. Let me see. Did they both get picked? I know Lotson got picked for.
Lotson, yeah.
For all ACC, yeah.
Yes.
She is second in voting. Jeez.
Yeah, that's what I did. But yeah.
Timpson was on there too. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. I know she was second, and Florida State's picked fifth. So I'm not crazy there. I have them fourth. Just ahead. I have them ahead of Louisville. But I think it's about right for Florida State.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And to go on the other side of the coin, and when you talk about Florida State, I'll talk about Miami, because we're the better school. We do have that. Have I ever told you we have a cannon on campus there that points towards Florida State?
I never knew that. A cannon. What is written on the cannon, or can we not say that?
I can't. No, it's just like a legit old school cannon. Like it's
okay. I thought it was
on campus. One of them points towards the Everglades for some reason, and the other one points towards Florida State.
Interesting.
I don't remember. I don't remember all the meaning. I just know where they are. I could take you. They point.
Yeah, I want to check that out. Wow.
Miami's
cool. Aimed at Florida State. Interesting.
Aimed at Florida State because we obviously that's our rival.
Yeah.
It's not like Florida. I dislike Florida. I like Florida State. They're just our rival. Like everyone in this conference. I like everyone in this conference. Except for Duke men's basketball. And all the football teams I dislike. But men's and women's basketball, for the most part, I'm cool with everyone.
Oh, wow.
Back to what we were talking about. Miami, the Hurricanes. Elite Eight last year, baby. Let's go, Katie Meyer. And they lose a lot. So they lose both the Cavender twins. One of them to WWE. The other one to semi-retirement / taking a year off and coming back and playing basketballs.
Where is she playing now? The one
she's not playing.
I thought one of them was on another team. One of them said she's coming back to basketball.
She's coming back, but for next year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's Haley. Haley's the point guard. Haley's a little bit better of a player. Hannah's in WWE though, so she's like more of my favorite.
God bless her. Go ahead, girl.
And then Destiny Harden. I mean, that's where it starts for Miami in terms of losses. She was this team's heart and soul, best scorer, player who bailed them out of bad situations, game-winning shot taker, like meant so much to this team in terms of culture. It's going to be really tough to replace her. Arisevich, Pendande, like those two starters who, and Pendande was huge in the tournament. So look, they lost, I guess five starter level players that had started at various times throughout last season. They add, though, I think a lot in the portal. I think Cheyenne Day Wilson from Duke last year, Duke's leading scorer. No, Duke's second leading scorer. The other leading scorer transferred to Ohio State. We talked about her on last week's podcast. Shy Day Wilson comes in. I think she's going to be phenomenal in Miami's system. I mean, the system is like geared towards getting smaller guards to the rim and getting them opportunities to create. And she is that type of player. Mm-hmm. I think you look at the other transfers they got, they should fill in around. And then you look at the players remaining, and it's just like Jasmine Roberts kicked butt last year. If y'all remember in the tournament, she was the player that everyone was talking about because she kicked butt. She was able to get to all of her spots when teams tried to bottle up Destiny Harden. Mm-hmm. Jasmine Roberts as a freshman stepped up and took that challenge. Now this year, it's even going to be more on her shoulders. Jaleah Williams is a junior now. She was awesome last year. She's going to be awesome this year. And then Kayla Oldacre is a sophomore. Larissa Spearman is a sophomore. Those two were the two highest ranked, I believe, were the two highest ranked recruits in Miami basketball history, or at least the 1990s. Oldacre last year, you could tell you could tell like she's a big person. She knew like kind of what to do, but she didn't know like where to be or how to like finish or how, like, all the nuances. And she started to get that throughout the year. And especially defensively, she grew. Spearman was hurt, but she can be a big player too. And this team's just big. Miami, 4 players over 6'4". That's my selling point. This team can finish top 4 in the conference. This team can replicate what they did last year. It's just a little different. So I think the thing that needs to happen is one of these players needs to grow into that's sort of just like the score, the Destiny Heart, the player that, okay, we're in trouble. We find Jasmine, we find Julia, whatever. But I think that's going to happen. And I think this team is going to go far. And I think they're going to surprise people.
Yeah.
End of spiel.
I know. I love it. First of all, it starts with Katie Meyer and, you know, the tremendous job that she's done there at Miami and with the size that they possess. I mean, you're not typically seeing that a lot across the board. You're seeing a lot of small ball, five out motion, offensive sets, a lot of push pace. But I think even with the size, they'll be able to push pace. And it's not just fast breaks. It's like early offense and get the ball inside. They're going to play inside out. I mean, that's just my guess. But I mean, you know, with Katie, just watching her coach over the years and how she played, right? She wants to get into the paint. Okay.
She wants everyone to get
a player. And she, at Duke, she played at Duke. But she did that as a player. And, you know, obviously that's the way she coaches. She's going to get 10 toes in the lane somehow, right? Mm-hmm. And she's going to put pressure on the defense by doing that. Every single possession, she's going to test the paint. So I think with that notion and philosophy and the size, right? Even if they miss shots, they're going to be there for the boards. And that's another piece that she loves, another key component. So it's going to be interesting to watch Miami play. And, you know, like you said, see who steps to the plate, see who steps up to be I don't want to say the face of the team, but, you know, one that they can rely on, you know, night in and night out to be consistent and efficient. And I think that's going to be the test to see who that is and who emerges in that role for them.
It's going to be, I mean, and there's going to be problems. I mean, there's going to be times where it's like, oh, we only have one ball, you know, how are you going to figure it out? And I think, but I think Shai coming over, she's, People are going to remember how good she was.
Yeah.
I think last year, the offense for Duke was just kind of a mess. And it just didn't work for really anybody. Celeste Taylor got points, but it just didn't flow as well as it should have. Mm-hmm. I think this year, when she comes to Miami with all these players that have played together, she's going to fit right in. So Shai could have a really big year, a year where people are like, whoa, remember now, we recall. So hopefully Shai has that. Let's move on to Louisville. Okay. So yeah, I know I'm picking them sixth.
Okay.
Okay. That's a little low for Louisville because they're Louisville. Although last year they did not finish that well in the conference.
And it was a start last year. I mean, in non-conference play, because they were in the top 10, you know, early on in the national polls.
Yeah.
And then they fell out of the top 25 and then worked their way back into the mid-range there.
They finished fourth last year, but they were unranked at the end of the season.
Right. But, you know, they started ranked, though.
Yes.
And then dropped and then came back and then, you know, they were in and out of the top 25 for AP. I know that as a voter that they were, you know, in and out of there. But, you know, they lost some close games out of the gates. And you know, that was surprising to me a bit. I mean, I know they lost a lot, too. To the league and now with losing Haley Van Lith to LSU, that's going to be even tougher. But I do know that Gilbert Arenas, his daughter, just made a verbal commitment there. So congrats to her. It's my little niece. I mean, not technically her by blood, but just, you know, I remember when she was a little poo to pie with a little two puffs with running around with my kids. When Gilbert was here in DC, but yeah, so she just committed there. So she's a senior in high school this year, but she'll be there next season. But, you know, they're going to have to find someone to take. Oh, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, now that you mention it, I don't really know who the heck she's going to play with next year. I don't know how many of these people have.
Oh, yeah.
Cause I mean, there's three transfers here that I have in the starting lineup. And I don't know if any of them, maybe Jada Curry has some years. I don't remember. I know Kiki Jefferson coming in from JMU. She's a grad.
Yeah.
You got
Eliah
Love is a grad. I will check on all these things. I mean, it's just this is an experienced team, and they had a lot of turnover last year.
Yes.
And so that's where you mentioned the biggie. No Haley Van Lith.
How about that?
We're not doing
what do you think about that? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Not her going there, but what do you think about how that impacts the team since she was very ball dominant and as she should have been? Okay. When I say ball dominant, I'm not saying she was, you know, chucking. I'm saying that She was setting up the plays. She was making the plays. So who, how do they fill that void?
You don't. I think you got to just change the way you play. Like, realistically, like, you're just going to have to change. And I know, I think Louisville prefers to have that sort of ball dominant score. I mean, when you look at the best teams in their history, they had that. Whether it's Maish Hines-Allen or, Haley Van Lith or Angel McCautry, right? Like, throughout the Jeff Walls timeline, there's been that sort of. So maybe someone comes across, and they do have talent. Like I mentioned, those players I just mentioned, Jada Curry coming in from Cal, Kiki Jefferson coming in from JMU, Nina Ricards coming in from Florida. They can all ball. They're all hoopers. But I don't think any single one of them is going to, step up and be a Haley Van Lith level scorer, because there's just not that many of those players in the world. Like, there's not that many players, that go around in the ACC. So it's just going to have to be a different attack. I think Olivia Cochran's going to have to play a major role offensively. She did last year. She was really, really good last year. I love her energy. She's going to have to, be a little bit more sure with the ball, I think, be a little bit stronger in the post and score more just from, dumping in. We're going to need some dumping baskets from Olivia Cochran. And I think she can do that. I think they will have mismatches across the board, because I think Jada Curry is a really good scorer. I think Nikki Jefferson, she's playing the three probably. Nyla Harris playing the four. She's going to have a good matchup most nights. Both those players, Curry and Jefferson, on the newcomer watch list. So, like, there's a lot. There's a lot to be excited for in Louisville. Just, like, so much change. And then just, like, I'm not saying anyone is worse. Like, it's not pejorative. That's what it is. It's not being mean to say that none of these players are Haley Van Lith. And when you lose a Haley Van Lith, your everything is kind of changing, because she was so good. So I just think there's going to be and they've not, it's not like she's not the only person they lost.
Right.
Chris Carr, Morgan Jones, Mikasa Robinson, Liz Dixon.
Yeah.
Mikasa Robinson herself, had she just left, I would have said, hey, Louisville's going to have to change a lot, because she did so much for him defensively.
Yes.
Haley and her, it's a lot. It's just a lot of change. And we'll see who steps up. I think they're a really talented team. And I could totally see them finishing, fourth in the conference or moving up, depending on how, those other teams work out.
Yeah, no, agreed. And, Jeff Walls, I mean, he's been there before. This isn't anything new. Like, just to, get his players to mesh at the right time. And it may not be at the beginning of the season, but as the season progresses, the way that he has them organized has always been the difference maker. So, I think it'll be interesting, like you said, to see who will be that ball dominant player for them and who Jeff Walls trusts in that role that he seems to always want to have. Mm-hmm. Every coach wants that. Okay. So I'm not saying that in any kind of way either. I want the player that I trust the most to have that ball in their hand, especially in crucial situations.
I don't want the best players on my team as a coach, I will go without. No, I'm kidding. Of course.
I'm so gullible, man. I'm sitting there like, wait, what are you talking about? I was like, what? Why would you say that?
If you can ball, you're on the team.
You're on the team. But at the end of the game, I don't want somebody, who's skittish in those moments and who's not. I want the ball in the hands of the cold-blooded one who has no emotion behind their eyes, and they're just going right at you, and they're going to execute, right? I don't want what are we doing? What's the call again? No, make the play, right? Go with the cold-blooded, cold eyes. Go with that guy. Go with that girl. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I need to trust you. If you're a ball dominant player, I need to trust you.
And I think Kiki Jefferson, I think that's the person. She's a straight hooper. I mean, we saw in last year. Yeah. It's Ohio State in the tournament. We saw her whole time at James Madison. I really love these transfers. I love seeing the player come from a program that's not as heralded, that was playing really well, that only the sickos and the nerds were really into watching for a few years. When they come to this big conference and they can make some noise, I think it's really exciting. And she's one of those transfers. I think she's going to be one of the leaders on the team. Her and Jada Curry have to step up. Jada Curry, who transfers from Cal, unknowingly transferred within the conference. Because Cal's now in the
ACC. Dang. Cal and Stanford coming on in. How about that?
Let's see. Where is she? Jada Curry's a junior. So, yeah, not impossible that she has to play Cal in a conference game after transferring from the Pac-12.
How about that?
I can't
harder for those teams to have to come east 100 times, right? Everyone's like, wow, everyone has to go out there. No, they have to make all the trips. They're going to come east all the time.
You're traveling like twice as far as everyone else.
That's what I'm saying. You got 8 o'clock class the next day. You have a game at Clemson or somewhere, and then you got flyback.
It's like I can't even get mad at Maryland for not being in the ACC anymore because I have bigger fish to fry. I have more important things in front of me now. It's like Stanford's here and Cal's here. Not Maryland's not here. I want to focus on Maryland not being here.
Interesting, right? It's crazy. I mean, it's this. I think it's going to go. This is me. No one's told me this, and this is just my opinion. I think that it's going to go like a north-south huge mega conferences, like just slice it right down the middle and have this conference play that conference, and just have this whole smorgasbord of games. I don't know how you can organize something like that, but I think that's what we're getting to, right?
I think so. Well, really, we're going down to like two. My ACC is hanging on.
Yeah.
The Pac-2, the two pack. The two pack. I don't know what's going to happen.
Who said the two pack?
That's what it is. The two pack. I didn't even think about that.
Ooh, I got bars. Talk to me about it.
Okay. Let's worry. We'll have a proper line podcast at some other time.
Bring it on.
I think it's time. Okay, I think we've gone pretty long. I think it's time to just kind of go rapid fire. All right. So I'm gonna say a team. I'm gonna say one thing about it. Respond if you want. If not, say next.
Okay.
Let's see what's going on with NC State.
Next. I'm just joking. No, I'm just joking. I'm sorry. I had an extra shot in my coffee today, but anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, talk to me.
Denia Rivers, that is her team this year officially. She is going to be the leader. I'm excited to see what she can do, how much she can produce. I think she's going to make all ACC. Ton of talent. Excited to see it because it's like when she went to South Carolina, everyone was pumped.
Yeah.
Now she transfers to NC State, looking for an opportunity to kind of have this chance to be the leader of the team. She's going to have the chance to be the leader of the team. I'm excited.
Yeah, I like that. And I love Rivers' game, as a freshman at South Carolina. Mm-hmm. She was fantastic. But I think she, made the right move for herself to get the minutes that she wanted to have, I guess. And I don't know the parameters of her decision, but outside looking in, that feels like what it was. And she did a great job last year at NC State for Coach Moore. But, they did lose a lot, too. So let's not forget about who NC State lost coming into this year, not just to graduation, but to transfer.
Diamond Johnson, who's at Norfolk State. Really fun story. I'm excited to see how he does. Jada Boyd, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner, who went to Maryland. Camille Hobby, I forget where she transferred. We talked about her. Those are big players for them. That was a lot of minutes. It's a year after Kunane leaves. It's a lot of upheaval in NC State, but – look, I really think Sanaya Rivers is going to have a big year. And it's going to be good for a lot of people who were interested in her coming out when she was going to South Carolina. They're going to see her get a chance to do it.
And
I wonder what would have happened if she stayed in South Carolina. You always think about these things. Because now it's like
hard. Yeah.
You would have had a nice team over there. But she did play a lot. I'm sure she had a big role on a good team.
Sure.
Duke, next up, I mentioned they lost their two top scorers to the transfer portal. It's Les Taylor and Cheyenne Day Wilson. They also lost Elizabeth Balogun and a bunch of other players that had played really big roles for them.
How many in total did they lose? Eight?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Eight players from last year's team are no longer there. They do have a couple transfers that, like Tania Marr from BC. The BC team last year, I really liked them, and then they transferred. Sad for me and for BC. But the biggest newcomer, and this is my point on Duke. One thing on Duke, Jaden Donovan. She's a hoop. Straight hoop.
Tell me about her.
Well, she's long. She plays – I think she's going to play the four. I have her at the four. I don't know. But she can play a four or five. What's her – I think she – I want to say she's 6'4", 6'4"-ish, 6'3", 6'2". She's 6 foot. Okay. No, I was thinking about her the other player. Sorry, I got her confused because she was on the Sidwell team. I forgot. I got her confused with the big. She is gonna be. She's like a wing though, and she can hoop. She can score. Oh. She can shoot. She can handle the ball. I have her as a really big part of this team. She is on the newcomer watch list for. Okay. Yeah. Yep. She's right there. The newcomer watch list for the ACC. She's gonna have a big year because they need someone to take over a lot of scoring, and she's. Okay. She's not the proven scorer, obviously, as a freshman, but she's probably their most touted scorer coming into next season, and they will need to replace a lot of it. So her and Mare from BC, two players I think are having big years.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think there's opportunity there, right? So with all the change and the players leaving, but Kara Lawson, I mean, if you've ever heard her speak and encourage her players, I think whoever's sitting in front of her in that locker room or in that huddle on the sidelines, they're going to be motivated to compete hard and play to the best of their ability. So we'll see what that looks like for them.
Do you remember the team I'm talking about from Sidwell? It was Kiki's team.
Oh yes. Yeah. They won the whole thing.
Where did their big end up?
Oh, isn't she young? She's a 24, right?
Maybe she is a 24.
She's a 24. And I don't know if she committed yet.
Is it Dudley? Is it the coaches?
Yes. Kid? Yes.
Yes. She's the big I was thinking about.
She's a baby. She's the baby then. With Kiki.
I did watch your tape for this. I promise. I just got it. I got all my wires crossed.
No. Yeah.
UCLA.
She committed?
She committed to UCLA.
With Kiki.
We got to the bottom of the mystery.
With Kiki.
Oh, with Kiki, yeah.
See?
Turns out Los Angeles is really nice and people want to live there. Moving on from Duke.
But go ahead.
Huh? Oh, and the Big Ten. You know, when you think about Big Ten weather, you think about Los Angeles.
I will once that season starts.
This is big for Christy.
Double dip, USC and UCLA.
Just stay out there. Just hang out for a week.
I like it.
Syracuse, De'Asia Fair coming back. That's my thought. I think they can make the tournament this year. They were pretty close last year. They won one of the games in the ACC tournament. They probably make it in. Isabel Varejao ended up there from Michigan.
Yeah.
She probably is a starter. Yeah, she'll probably start.
About that,
I think they have a shot. I mean, De'Asia Fair is legit. She's just a legit player. I think she was also on the ACC preseason team. Yep, she was. She's a legit star. They're gonna just need a little bit more than they had last year to make it to the NCAA tournament. I think they can do it. You know what? I'll make a prediction. I think Syracuse making the tournament. Wait, let me make sure that works with everything.
Like over your head instead of mine. I like it. Go ahead. What you gonna
do? Well, that would mean I have 9 teams in the ACC making the tournament.
Oh.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. But Sarah, not unfathomable. I mean, you know, Stranger Things.
Not crazy. It's not crazy. But that's why Syracuse didn't make it last year, frankly, is because there's just too many teams that were in from the ACC. And so they really needed to prove themselves at the conference, and they didn't get that done. I don't know. I could see it. I could see one of those top 8 teams that have fallen out in favor of Syracuse. I guess I won't predict them being in the tournament, but I like them as a bubble team. How about that? Very solid bubble team at the very least this year, like they were.
Co-signing that with you.
Clemson. What do I have to say about Clemson?
You can say it.
Well, they're good. No, they are. I'm just trying to think who I want to mention. Because you got Ruby Whitehorn. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay.
She was solid last year. I believe she made all ACC. I'm gonna double check right now. She was on second team.
Yeah.
And so it was Amari Robinson. Or no, Amari Robinson made second team. That's all I was looking for, guys. Sorry. Second team who didn't make it. But yeah, Amari Robinson, really, really good post player. I don't know how much better they can get just because the conference is so good. But you know, it's another year of really good players. I think they're both Whitehorn's a sophomore, so she's going to be making that jump into sophomore, and then Robinson's a grad, so she's coming back. I get them confused. Ruri Whitehorn's a great name, by the way.
That is a great name.
She's a really good basketball player. She has a great name, though.
Yeah.
But Clemson, that's my thought. If you want to watch him, Amari Robinson down deep in the post.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the depth. I mean, you always have to – I mean, especially – I mean, in any conference, but specifically in Power 5 conference, you've got to have depth, and you got to have players off the bench, and they have to be able to contribute. So that's something to watch for at Clemson, see if they can gather themselves enough to be galvanized off the bench and produce.
This is 6 year. Oh, 6 year for Amanda Butler.
Oh, wow.
Amanda Butler
is at Florida for a chunk. And then, yeah, interesting. Wow, the time goes, doesn't it? Wow, 6 years for her there. Go ahead, Amanda.
I feel like that. I feel like I remember when she got there. But Amanda Butler, good people. All the I really like all of the coaches in the
same.
Really same. Like, I didn't mention Kara Lawson, but Kara Lawson. She's yeah, we talked about Duke though, right? Okay, I didn't imagine it because I feel like I mentioned Kara Lawson.
We're talking about DMV Duke. Kara
Lawson. I don't think I said her name. So I'm sorry. Sorry to Kara
Lawson. I did. I mentioned
her. I feel like when I talk negative about a team, I don't mention their coach. But we will talk about BC's coach because I like her. Joanna Burnaby McMe. She's entering her fifth year.
Oh, my God.
And it's been a struggle in the portal, man.
There's
a lot
of players. Didn't she get coach of the year when she first got up there, though?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she was the Maryland assistant and then went up there.
Yeah. She was also, she's like a D3 West Virginia, like, legend.
Yes.
She's actually, she has a really interesting story. We did a podcast with her, if you guys want to go down the feed. Well, I did a podcast with her a few years ago, where she talked about how she like left coaching to have her kids and then raise them for a while. And then she got back into it. And then she's risen back up to the ranks of being the Boston College coach.
How about that?
She's very cool. Good, cool coach. What I think is happening, honestly, is that she's getting good players to come to BC. And the rest of the conference is like, oh, those players are good. Do you want to come play at North Carolina Chapel Hill instead of Boston College? And no offense to Boston College, but the resources, the exposure, the basketball tradition is just better at the other ACC schools. So that's kind of my process as to why players, you know, are coming in and out. But I like their team again this year. I mean, I think they're pretty good. I think they have a shot at being a bubble team. I don't think they will be just because they don't have the level of talent they've had, and they're relying on some freshmen. But Wagner. Devon, I always mispronounce her first name. But she's really came into her own in the tournament last year when she had to step up. A lot of players that were injured, and she, you know, was coming back from an injury herself, and she has some great games. I think she had like 18 points in two or three straight games. I'm into it. I think Boston College is a team that could be on the bubble. I don't think they will be. I think it's another year here, and hopefully they just have like some continuity going into the next year, because that's what they want.
Yeah, it makes a difference when you can have next. That leverage. Yeah, you gotta have that.
We'll go next. Wake Forest. Now, among coaching staffs that I know, this is like one of my favorites. Megan Jebby coming over from American, bringing her whole staff. They're cool people. They're nice people. And they've had barbecue with me. And if you've had barbecue with me, we're just very good friends. That's how it works.
That's how it works. I love it.
It's one way. It's an easy way to be friends with me. If we have barbecue together, we're friends. But Wake Forest last year, 17-7. Another team that was kind of close to the bubble, and they didn't make it onto the bubble, but they did have a nice run in the ACC tournament. The big news there is, I always freaking do this, is Jewel Spear transfers to Tennessee. The reason I was laughing is because in my notes I put Jewel Lloyd.
Oh, no.
That's a mistake. I imagine I've been making it for a long time.
You morphed your WNBA and NBA?
The amount of times I've done this to both of them in my notes.
WNBA and NCAA.
The amount of times I've done this to both of them in my notes, because they're two players I talk about a ton, is
is astounding. But I know this is Jewel Spear because obviously Jewel Lloyd plays for the Seattle Storm, and unless she's gone to Tennessee as well. But
right.
So this team loses Jewel Spear. She was a late transfer out of the program to Tennessee. So then they're, you know, kind of picking up the pieces from losing her. But Jebbia runs a really, really nice motion offense program. And that's, for me, just something that I really like. They'll get better in year two. Okay, so that's Wake Forest. Let's go. Rapid fire, because Chrissy has to go. So, all right. Wake Forest lost Jewel Spear. I think they're still going to be pretty good. Year two of motion offense. Virginia, second year of Coach Amaka. Well, yeah. Lost Taylor Valaday. That's a big deal. They bring in Paris Clark. I think Paris Clark's a really good basketball player. I think she can have a big year at Virginia, right?
Yes.
Better in year two, possible bubble team. This is just possible bubble team tier. Everyone from NC State down has just been possible bubble. Okay. Georgia Tech. Okay. This is where the possible bubble stops, is above Georgia Tech. Because I don't know Fortner. Bless her heart. She's really a cool person. But, like, I am not sure about this team. I don't really know much about them. It's a rebuilding time for them. Pitt, new coach, Tony Verdi from UMass.
Yes.
A lot of time under his belt at UMass coming into Pitt. I don't know literally jack about this team. I know Leiatu King. She's good. She's a good four. She can drive from the nail. And she has some really nice elbow touches. That's it. There's quality players I know on this team. Best of luck to Pitt and to Georgia Tech and to who else did I say? Oh, Pitt and Georgia Tech. That's the only teams I have on the not possible bubble. Maybe they surprise us. Who knows? Good for them. All right, I'm done, Chrissy.
Hey, listen. Hey, you never know. The bubble, non-bubble, you never know until the games get going. And I tell you what, the games start in the next couple of days, and I can't wait to start breaking down the games because that's when we'll really start to see all of what our prognostications look like and whether they're good or not. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. It's definitely going to be fun to watch. But, you know, a lot of different factors, a lot of different aspects for a lot of teams, especially throughout the ACC. But those top three, definitely keep an eye on those to make some deep runs yet again. And Miami.
You're coming on Miami basketball team is all I'm saying. All right. Go Canes.
You. No. But anyway, hey, man, you know it's always fun chopping it up. And the ACC is going to be another tough conference this year. And we can't wait to bring you all the action on next week's show once they have a bunch of jump balls going up for us to talk about and leaving it like that and getting some jumpers in. No, it's going to be a blast. And we can't wait to continue to bring it to you right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. For Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winter Scott, and this has been Courtside with Christy and Gabe. We'll see you next.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.